All right, in Matthew chapter 5, Brother Jay read for us the entire passage of the Beatitudes. Yeah, I lost it. I just got to keep talking. I'll eventually get louder than that again. Well, we're in a series that entitled How to Be Happy in 2013. And we are looking at chapter 5, verse 6 of those Beatitudes that Brother Jay read for us this morning. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for true goodness, for they will be fully satisfied. We're going to look this morning at the secret of satisfaction. In America, we don't really understand hunger and thirst, do we? I'm reminded of a time when Mother Teresa visited the United States, and she made this comment in one of her talks that she did. She said, "In India, they're starving physically, but in America, y'all are starving emotionally. We have a spiritual hunger, but we don't call it that. In America, we use phrases like, well, my life's empty, or I'm bored, or I'm restless, or something seems to be missing, or there really must be more to life than what I'm experiencing. Even it seems like when things are going well, when we get in our quiet solitude places, we think about, you know, there's something missing. Rolling Stones had a song that kind of became the theme for the baby boomer generation. And it was entitled, "I Can't Get No Satisfaction." And that's really how a lot of people are in this world today. They can't find satisfaction. And I think the reason they can't find satisfaction, and some of the reasons that maybe you're here this morning, and maybe a reason that you can't find satisfaction, is maybe because we look in the wrong places, you think? We talked about in Sunday school this morning how legalism is basically where rules become more important than relationships. I think a lot of times we can't find any satisfaction because we're too busy trying to follow rules than follow relationships. So if you have your sheet, if you'll get it out, the first thing that I want to talk to you about this morning that's got some blanks for you there, if you'd like to use that sheet, if not, that's fine, is why are so many people unsatisfied? Why don't we find lasting satisfaction? And there's a multitude of reasons, but I want to share three of them with you. Always present in my mind is what I've shared with you before is Bruce's admonition not to chase too many rabbits. It's been pretty good rule to follow, amen? And so I want to talk to you about three of them, three things where we won't find satisfaction. Number one, you don't find lasting satisfaction in pleasure. That's a lot of times the number one place that we look and that the world looks is in pleasure. If I could just take a cruise, if I could just retire in luxury, if I could travel the world. Now, I'm not saying there's anything necessarily wrong with those things, unless that's what we're trying to find satisfaction. Satisfaction, you'll never find lasting satisfaction in pleasure. Ecclesiastes 1:8 in the Living Bible says this, No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are never content. Now, I want to kind of prove that to you. If you turn on your TV, it won't take very long till you will see ads on the TV that tell you one of two things. One of them is that they have a product that the taste satisfies. Amen. Y'all seen that? Y'all heard that one? If that was true, all you'd have to buy is one can of it or one cup of it, wouldn't you? and it would satisfy you from now on. That's not the case, is it? As a matter of fact, how many of you, I don't want you raising your hand because you might get in trouble for this, okay? But how many of you have done late night refrigerator raids? Don't raise your hand. Don't look at one another. You wake up and you're hungry, and so you make your way. You stumble past everything. No lights on because you don't want anybody to know about it. And you get to the refrigerator, and you kind of look at this, and you nibble on this, you nibble on that, you nibble on that. And you go back and you lay down, and about the time your head hits the pillow, your mind's going, you know what? I'm still hungry. That happens in the world a lot. We go to the refrigerator of the world, and we think, well, this will satisfy my hunger. That will satisfy my hunger. This will satisfy my hunger. And we put those things in, and then when we lay down, we say, you know what? I'm still hungry. That didn't work. Pleasure is one of those things, isn't it? Let me tell you, you can take all the vacations that you need. You can go on all the cruises that you want to go. You can hit every Disney park in the world and every Six Flags park in the world. But that's not where you're going to find satisfaction. Long, lasting, permanent satisfaction is not from pleasure. Amen? All right, number two. You don't find lasting satisfaction in performances either, or in performance. See, that's the mantra of the workaholic. If I just put a few more hours more into this, if I spend a little bit more time on the job, if I perfect this just a little bit more, if I just do a little bit more, then I'm going to find lasting satisfaction. Ecclesiastes 2:23 says, what does a man get for all of his hard work? Days are full of sorrow and grief and restless nights. Verse 21, you work for something with all of your skill, and then you have to leave it all to someone who hasn't worked for it. You see, there is that myth that says success brings or produces satisfaction. Now, I want you to hear me. I'm not against being successful. I'm not against us doing the best that we can do. I'm not against us striving to do whatever we do to the best of our ability. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying, though, is that in that succeeding, if that's where you are searching for lasting satisfaction, is in what you can do, what you can perform, what you can produce, you're going to come up unsatisfied every time. All you have to do is look around at some of the most successful people in the world and find out they were empty, weren't they? They had emptiness. Janis Joplin, Elvis Presley, Ernest Hemingway. Every one of those names, those three names that I just mentioned to you, they were pretty successful, amen? But they were empty. They had a hunger and a thirst, and they thought, I guess, I'm not making an assumption here, but from their life, it looked like they thought maybe through performance they could fill that void, and it never happened. And they wound up living tormented lives. I heard an interesting interview by Priscilla Presley. And she said early on in their marriage, Elvis went through a time when he thought God was calling him into the ministry. And he received counsel that told him, you'll be far, far more successful. You'll be able to influence far more things by performing like you're performing. Talk about bad counsel, amen? Lasting satisfaction We look for it, but it's not. You can't find it in performances. The third one, you can't find lasting satisfaction in possessions. We can't find it. We don't find lasting satisfaction in pleasure. We don't find it in lasting success or satisfaction in performance. But we also don't find it in possessions either. But a lot of people are looking for it there, aren't they? I love that statement that a lot of products have. And it's what we all look for. We want some kind of guarantee, don't we, that the product is going to perform and do and be what it says it will do. And so we always look for that little label that says what? Satisfaction what? Guaranteed. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's what we want to look for on those labels. I'm here to tell you, every product that says that, every possession that we have that says satisfaction guaranteed that is not of God is a lie. Amen? Because I guarantee you it will not satisfy you on the long haul if it's not from God. Today we have more products on the shelf and that you can order. Products are easier to get a hold of. Products are easier for us and more abundant. We have twice as many stuff. So then the world ought to be twice as much satisfied. Amen? If it's satisfaction guaranteed. Ecclesiastes 5:10. He who loves money will never have enough. The foolishness of thinking wealth brings happiness. Psalms 37:4. Seek your happiness in the Lord, and He will give you the desires or your heart's desire. There you go, Becky. That's that verse you and I were looking for the other day, wasn't it? I knew I'd find it for you. Find it. Seek your happiness in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desire. Brothers and sisters, it's not in possessions. Again, I'm not advocating that we sell all of our stuff and move to a commune together. But I am advocating that if you believe that your lasting satisfaction is going to be based on what you can acquire, it's not going to be a satisfaction guaranteed because you still have to leave it, don't you? Like I said the other day, I've yet to see a hearse going down the road pulling a U-Haul. Have y'all? He who dies with the most toys still dies. So it's not in possessions. Actually, we don't need to seek happiness. What we need to do is seek God, and through Him, we find that happiness. That's where the happiness comes from. You see, happiness is a byproduct. Satisfaction is a byproduct of a relationship with God. If we make happiness our goal, that's what we're shooting for, that's what we're going to try to find, we're never going to be happy. But if we make our relationship with Christ, that's going to be what we're focusing on, that we've got God in our lives and that we're listening to Him and that we're following His directions, then a byproduct of that is happiness. You can't find it just by going and looking for it, because most of the time we look for it in the wrong places. We look for it in pleasure, we look for it in performance, and we look for it in possessions. When in reality, the sooner we realize and the sooner we understand, we just need to look to God for it. So that brings us to, how does that work? How do we experience satisfaction through God? How do we experience satisfaction guaranteed? If it's not through those three things and many other, we could have talked about a lot of other things, couldn't we? We could have talked about a lot of things that people view as making them satisfied. But how does it work? How do we experience it by experiencing God? Well, there's three things as well, and I want to share with you very quickly. First of all, we experience real satisfaction in life when, first of all, we recognize our real hunger. When we recognize what's missing in our life, what is it? Why are we hungry? See, sometimes, you can tell by looking at me, I enjoy eating. And sometimes I found, you didn't have to raise your hand, Jared. See, sometimes we find ourselves just eating because it's time, don't we? Y'all know what I'm talking about? It amazes me sometimes. Be going along and think, oh man, it's 12 o'clock. I better stop and eat. And on the way of going, I was like, why? I'm not hungry. See, sometimes we just do it because. We need to understand, we need to recognize what our real hunger, what we're missing, what's not there. You see, a lot of people don't know what they want from life. The Bible says we are spiritual beings and God made us to love us and to know Him better and to be loved by Him. And nothing will take that place of that. You can eat all the fast food you want to eat. It still ain't gonna, spiritual fast food. It still ain't going to take care of that. That's what you need. He made us. He made that void. He's the one that will fill that void. We need to recognize what our real hunger is. Our hunger needs to be for God. The sooner we realize that, the better off we're going to be. So how does God give us a hunger for Himself? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, you have some verses there that you might have thought was a little unusual. It said, God humbled you by letting you go hungry, then feeding you with manna. He did this to help you realize that real life comes from obeying every commandment of God. Notice He said, God let them get hungry. Somehow we've gotten in our minds and our ideas that hunger is a bad thing, that we need to take care of it. I know when the girls come to our house and Olivia starts getting upset, the first thing we say, we find out, you want some milk? You want something? We don't want them to get hungry. But what God's saying is, hunger's not a bad thing, is it? Because it says it causes them to realize what's important. We need to recognize what our real hunger is. We need to recognize if there's a void in our life, if there's a hole there, if we want to go to the refrigerator, we need to go to the right refrigerator. We need to go to God. We need to recognize what our real hunger is. Happy are those that hunger. That's what Jesus told them on the Sermon on the Mount. Don't you imagine they kind of thought, really? Happy are those that hunger. You see, God lets us get hungry. Sometimes He allows problems to come into our lives. Sometimes He does things that allows things to get our attention. Sometimes He does things to wake us up that we're, to where we'll get up and start heading towards the refrigerator. Amen? Spiritually. Because He wants us to see and He wants us to understand. He uses a lot of circumstances. Sometimes He uses problems. So that He can tell us, listen, what you want is not pleasure, what you want is not possession, and what you want is not performance. If you want to get filled up, if you want to have guaranteed satisfaction, and what you need is Me. Happy are the hungry. Now, if we think about it, He said that God humbled them. I want to tell you something. If there is one thing that describes a hungry person, I don't think there's any word that describes better a hungry person than humility. Y'all know what I mean by that? My point is this. If you find someone who is about to starve to death, who is truly physically hungry, they could care less if you've got linens, if you've got fine china, if you've got beautiful silverware, or if you've got a paper plate and paper napkins and plastic forks. They don't care, do they? All they want is to eat. See, when we get hungry, truly hungry, we become pretty humble. I believe in Sunday school we were talking about that, weren't we, y'all? About the role that humility plays in our worship. Hungry people are humble people. Hunger is a painful but an excellent motivator, isn't it? Now, I'm here to tell you, I don't sign up for that class very often, for that hunger class, for that starving class, for that painful class. I don't sign up for those. But when God puts me in that class, it's a pretty highly motivating class. Amen? It makes us do things. It makes us move. God wants us to recognize that He is the one that can satisfy those hungers. He's who we need to come to. We need to recognize where our real hunger is. Number two, we need to stop eating junk food. We need to stop eating junk food. Look at Isaiah 55:2. Why spend your money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? We need to stop eating spiritual junk food. We need to quit looking for things in life that don't satisfy, things that don't meet our needs, things that are not nutritious for us spiritually. Next to a very, very good ribeye steak. Hamburgers are pretty good, aren't they? Which one do you think is better for you? I'm voting for the ribeye steak myself. Go light on the sour cream on the potato and stuff like that. I think you'd be all right. But which one do you think they sell more of? Yeah. Just McDonald's probably alone sells more hamburgers than all the steak places combined. But which one's better for us? Now, like I said, I know I'm going to hear back there in the back, somebody's going to tell me, well, that red meat's not really the best. I don't want to hear it, okay? I want to tell you, that's not my point. My point is that we spend so much time spiritually nibbling on things that we really know are not that good for us. Or at least, they're not the best for us. And we need to quit. God says, quit wasting your time and your money on things that aren't going to satisfy you. You need to quit eating spiritual junk food and you need to just focus on God. In Australia, a plant grows there. The spores of this clover can be made into bread and to porridge. It looks good. They say it smells good. But it has zero protein, carbohydrates, or vitamins in it. Literally, it looks good, it smells good, it can be made into bread, it can be made into a oatmeal or a porridge, but it has zero nutritional value in it whatsoever. I thought, you know what? That's how a lot of people are doing with spiritual food, aren't they? They're eating all this stuff and we're bringing in all this stuff in our lives and it has no spiritual advantage to us whatsoever other than it makes us full, we think. But it never satisfies. There's a lot of things that fill up your time and fill up your calendar and fill up your checkbook or your debit card that does not bring satisfaction. Amen. There's a lot of spiritual junk food out there that doesn't last. It's only temporary. It's interesting that our appetites, though, are also influenced by our associations, aren't they? This is what I mean. Have you ever went someplace and thinking, you know, you on your way, you thought, well, I better stop and get something to eat. And you think, no, I'm really not hungry. And you get to some place, and the people that are there, they go, you know what, we're about to starve. You want to go eat? What do you say? Yeah, come to think of it, I am hungry. Amen? Our association, who we associate with, influences our appetites. Well, I really don't even have to say it, but I will. It's even more so with our spiritual appetites. We hang out with people who like the world's junk food. That's what we're going to get into and we're going to eat. But we hang out with people who don't like those things and who are trying to serve God and who are hungry and thirsting for God, then that's what we become hungry for. You see, it's contagious. Spiritual hunger is contagious. If you want to be more hungry for the things of the world, I mean of God, spend more time with people who are hungry for the things of God. I'm not saying we wall ourselves off and that we have no contact with the world whatsoever. That's not what I'm saying. But we need to quit eating spiritual junk food, is what I'm trying to say. Number three, we need to start looking for Christ, to Christ for our satisfactions. John 8:35. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, or whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. I'm here to tell you, that's wonder bread, isn't it, right there? Bread is one of the most universal foods on this planet. It is basic and essential for life. You can live on bread and water. You may get tired of it, but you can live on bread and water. It is the basic essential. In a famine, that's one of the first things they fly in, isn't it? When there's a natural disaster, that's one of the first things they bring in is bread and water. If you have bread and water, you can live. Jesus said, listen, I am the bread of life. I'm it. You don't need to worry about the junk food. You don't need to worry about the greasy hamburgers or those wonderfully barbecue hot wings. And I'm the bread of life. I'm it. I can meet your needs. I can take care of everything that you need because I am the essential to life. I am the bread of life. You need me. And really the truth of the matter is it's even more than us wanting him. We need him. And we don't even know it sometimes. John 4:13-14, whoever drinks water will get thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. I will come before him in the spring of living water. Water is even more essential than food, bread, isn't it? You can go about, I don't remember what it is, several weeks without eating anything. How long can you go without drinking anything? Not very long, about 3 days. After about 3 days, you become so dehydrated, your system shuts down. Our bodies are about 70% water. You got to have water to live. And Jesus is saying, I'm that water. I am the basic essentials that you need. And you need to start looking at me for them. Now, let me ask y'all a question. When you're really, really, really thirsty, does the cost of the water matter? It doesn't. If they told you, if you were really, 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 really thirsty, you just came out of the desert and you came up onto a place and they were selling a bottle of water for $20 and you had $20, you'd shell it out in a second, wouldn't you? See, when we're really thirsty, cost is immaterial. It doesn't matter what it costs. That's what it means to hunger and thirst for God. Now look at John 8:35. He said, whoever comes to me will never go thirsty. Whoever believes in me will never be, I'm sorry, whoever comes to me will not go hungry. Whoever believes in me will not be thirsty. And then he says, whoever drinks the water I give you will never thirst again. Those three words, come, believe, and drink. The point is, the appetites are not fulfilled, are not filled until we do something about it, are they? I mean, you can lay there in the bed and your stomach grumbling and you're thinking, boy, I ought to go look in the refrigerator. And you can be sitting there thinking about what all's in the refrigerator. But your stomach's going to still be grumbling and growling around until you get up and put something in it, isn't it? Same thing with us. Until you take an action, nothing's going to happen. That's what Jesus says here. He said, you've got to take an action. He said, first of all, come to me. Second of all, he said, you need to believe. And third of all, he said, you need to drink or you need to receive. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for true goodness, for they will be truly satisfied. God is saying satisfaction is guaranteed. But that guarantee only exists with God. My question to you this morning is, what do you need to do? Do you need to come to Him? Maybe that means inviting Him in your life for the very first time. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've never invited Him in and made Him Lord of your life. He said you need to come. If you want satisfaction guaranteed, you need to come. Maybe you've come to Him before for salvation, and now you need to come back to Him and let Him be Lord. You need to return to Him. Maybe you need to believe. Maybe believe that yes, He saved you, that yes, He can reclaim you, yes, He can revive you, yes, He can re-motivate you to be and to do what you want to do. But you have to do something, amen? It has to be an action. Don't leave here this morning going to the world's refrigerator and just snacking on junk food. Leave here with a stamp that says satisfaction guaranteed. Heavenly Father, that's my prayer. That's our prayer this morning. That you would help us to see and help us to do and help us to be what you want us to be, that we might experience that satisfaction guaranteed. It's not that it's based on us. The guarantee is based on you. But we do have to react. We do have to do something about it.